Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
To be with you on this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the big weekend. That's the World Series. Penn State, Ohio State, Eagles, Steelers, Jacksonville against somebody. Just kidding.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. My personal favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are proudly in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Play-by-play call of the day. The Ravens get the job done on the ground.
Ninth play of the drive coming. First, third down play. Duvernay takes it. Into the end zone he goes. Devin Duvernay running it in.
Al Michaels with a call on Prime Video last night on Amazon. There we go. Our play-by-play call of the day. Tom Hanifin here in a few moments. What's your World Series prediction, by the way?
I'm saying Phillies in six.
Okay.
I think they get it done. I think they got a chance to. I think they will. I'm very confident they will split in Houston and then win two out of three at home and then win game six in Houston.
Well, the I'm rooting like heck for the Phillies. I know that. That's not even close. Keep in mind. Eagle 107 will have the Phillies broadcast. That means if you want to hear Seelan's Grow tonight, it's on 94KX. Just a quick note to you. And, of course, 100.9 The Valley. We have the Little Brown Jug game tonight between Mifflinburg and Lewisburg. And Shikellamy and Southern Columbia tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So I hope we've got everybody up to date on that. So let's bring in Tom Hanifin now. Tom, welcome. Always a pleasure. Let's talk a little Penn State, Ohio State. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Your thought, the 6-1 on the season. You would never know by some reaction out there that they're, you wouldn't think, you'd think they're 1-6. So what do you think about what you have seen to this point? Did the Michigan game have that much effect on the psyche?
I think it did. I mean, I'm one of those people who's definitely been down on the team since the Michigan game, but I was also one of those people going into the Michigan game that felt we'd seen enough from Penn State that they could maybe be competitive against the Wolverines on the road. Now, we were all proven very, very wrong, and if you watch that game, and I know you called it, Steve, so you had to live it, is that that game was not close. Now, while the score was close for about 2.5 quarters, the gap in talent, the gap in ability is rather sizable. And I think that's what really threw off a lot of Penn State fans. You had the victory against Northwestern, which you understand the elements. It's rainy. It was a terrible day to play football. and they just didn't look great, but nobody's going to look great in that environment. And that was preceded by a bit of an uninspiring win against a MAC opponent in Central Michigan, who's going to win a lot of football games this year. So I'm not with the crowd that is feeling like, you know, the sky is falling necessarily. If anything, Steve, I'm feeling like, you know, even if you don't beat Ohio State this weekend and you play a competitive football game, I don't see one reason why Penn State shouldn't finish this season 10-2. And man, isn't that exponentially better than what we've seen the last 2 years? That's a big leap.
Well, let's get to last week's game then. They played Minnesota last week, and we do know what the situation was at quarterback. Although, to be honest with you, Tanner Morgan was 4-12 at Illinois before he got hurt in the fourth quarter. So, you know, they weren't lighting it up with the passing game in that game. But what did you think about the Penn State side of the performance in last Saturday night's game?
The biggest improvement for me I saw was the defense, Steve. Is the defense looked night and day compared to what they looked like against Michigan. They were swarming to the ball. They were being aggressive. You saw multiple guys getting to the ball carrier, and that's something that, you know, the tackling was an issue for the first five games of the season, and especially it was highlighted against Michigan. You have those extremely talented tailbacks in Corum and Edwards that were just slicing and dicing the Penn State defense. So, and I think Manny Diaz was a lot more aggressive because he was allowed to be, and I think pointing to the quarterback, Tanner Morgan, being out, Ethan Calliope-Manis is a talented four-star recruit that it's oddly similar to what Penn State fans have endured with Sean Clifford and Drew Aller recently. It's a six-year quarterback, the promise of a young quarterback, and it's just not been realized yet. So I think the defense looked great. And then it's the head-scratching games that Sean Clifford puts up, is that he gets booed in the first quarter. He throws that pick over the middle into double coverage and a bad post route. And then he comes back and he literally has the best game of his career to date as a Nittany Lion. So between the defense and the way Sean Clifford played, if you can get performances like that out of the defense and Clifford tomorrow against Ohio State, you have a chance. Do you win? I don't know, but you have a chance.
Well, I mean, he has 13 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Don't most coaches want that?
Yes, absolutely. They absolutely want that. And the thing about Sean is, and I know you've seen it in his entire time as a starter, is that peaks are high and the valleys are low. And that's been the issue, is just getting to consistency. And Sean has spoken about that. James Clifford, Mike Yursich, they've all spoken about that. They all acknowledge that. And I think that's why you saw in the press conference earlier this week with James Franklin pointing out very decidedly that Sean Clifford was the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week. He's standing up for his quarterback because he believes in what Sean Clifford is capable of. Now, Penn State fans are fatigued, I think, by the inconsistency of Sean Clifford, and that was a big bounce-back game. As someone who's a Philadelphia sports fan and has booed plenty of Philadelphia players in my lifetime, you do it because you know the player is better than that. We've all seen Sean Clifford have really high moments, really good moments. So to see him bounce back from that pick, bounce back from two games that weren't really breathtaking, and to put together an excellent performance against Minnesota. It's the old adage, you're only as good as your last game, and it's like, hey, go out there and do it again. So I believe in the peaks of Sean Clifford. It's just, can he maintain that against the Buckeyes?
Well, I was asked on SiriusXM on Tuesday, when I was a guest on one of their shows, about the fans with Sean Clifford. And I said, well, I think it comes down to two parts. One, he's in his sixth year. And they're like, okay, it's the same guy, here we go again, right? And I said, and there's also the shiny new object that's sitting there. And everybody, of course, gets enamored by the shiny new object all the time. I mean, you know what that's like. I mean, people see McGloin, they see you, and they gravitate to you. You're the shiny object. I mean you understand. You understand how it works.
Sure.
But that's why I said, I think that's a big part of it.
I do agree with you in that. You got to support your players at the end of the day, and Penn State, Beaver Stadium especially, you rarely hear boos for the home team. You rarely hear that, and that was significant. I think, you know, to your point, it was here we go again, and it was more of the same thing. And Minnesota, despite Tanner Morgan being out and having lost two straight games coming into that, Minnesota has a lot of talent, and the concern was laying an egg and then letting this season kind of get away from the Nittany Lions, the loss to Michigan, a potential loss to Minnesota, a potential loss to Ohio State. It really is a slippery slope. So I think that's what a lot of Penn State fans are feeling. Four consecutive years of him as a starter. 2019, you see how good he could be, and I think built a lot of positivity. 2020 is tough in the pandemic, the depths of the pandemic. 2021, up and down a little bit. It's been good this year. It's been better. I think that's where that comes from. But hopefully Sean is able to take something positive from what he experienced against Minnesota and turn it into a really good performance tomorrow.
I don't know how much of Ohio State you've seen, but what you have seen, what has been your impression of them?
They're as advertised. I think the defense is still... it's still the question marks that were there last year. You know, Steve, going into the offseason, there was the comments even from Ryan Day is that we've got to get tougher. They were accused of being a soft, finesse type of defense that got lambasted by Michigan in the game between Michigan and Ohio State last year. Michigan obviously has been built to beat Ohio State. And can they beat anybody else? That's a good question. But Ohio State's defense, they've got a pass rush. It's not necessarily the greatest pass rush in the country, but it's there. You know they're going to have athletes all over the field. Are they going to be able to jam up Penn State's wide receivers? There's a possibility, but there's reason for optimism regarding the way Yursich used the tight ends, especially against Minnesota. You've got seven viable pass catchers, and that's not even including the running backs, and that's my opinion. It's really going to come down to can you somehow limit the scoring of Ohio State? This is like, you know, Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors. You know he's going to go out there and drop 30 to 40 points. You aren't going to be able to stop that. Can you slow it down to a degree? Can you slow up the rest of the proverbial Golden State Warriors? The only way you do that, and we saw it last season, Steve, is that if you can rush the passer, if you can get into C.J. Stroud's face and you can make him think, not react, but think, that has been his downfall. And it's the downfall of a lot of quarterbacks. So I think if Penn State's defense puts together an effort like they did against the Golden Gophers, they've got a chance. But again, Ohio State, they've got way too many weapons on offense. They are going to get their points.
Tom, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Steve, and a shout-out to my Phillies tonight, Game 1 of the World Series in Houston. Just a note, Justin Verlander's 0-6 in Game 1, in all his World Series starts. So I think the Phillies could pull this one out. Go, Phil.
Well, Verlander, in fact, got his first win in a postseason game in the last round since 2019. So, all right. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great to be with you on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed. Second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Phillies and Astros game one tonight. What's first pitch tonight? Is it
8:03?
8:03. All right.
Every game is 8:03 first pitch.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Okay. The get the two big guns going right away out of the gate. Games one and two. They're gonna flip them. Nola tonight and Wheeler tomorrow. There we go.
And what's interesting is, Houston still has its starting pitcher as undecided for tomorrow, for game two.
Okay. My guess it'll be probably Framber Valdez, I would think. I mean, nobody's hurt, so it's not like...
Yeah, I wonder if they're waiting to see how things go tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be. I mean, the Phillies didn't start Wheeler in game one, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, but that we knew a few days ago was because they wanted to give him the full 5 days rest because he's much better.
Yeah. But at the same time, Houston may be sitting there saying, yeah, we don't have to tell anybody what we're doing. So they're not.
That's fair.
Yeah. No need. I'm sure there's some rule where they have to mention on a pro level at some point what they're doing, but yeah. TBD, to be determined, much like the Suits bank account.
Yeah. F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found.
Joe Davis gets the call tonight. He says he will not be paying attention to any social media during the World Series. Good. People in our business shouldn't be anywhere, to be honest with you. Right? Now, if you actually knew how to do the job, okay. And we all know you have different tastes as to which announcers you like and which ones you don't. But and your taste is your taste. Nothing wrong with that. But in terms of how to do the job, you know, like it would be like me going over and telling the guys at Brewers Outlet how to do their job. They're way, way better at it than I am. But so, I mean, does Joe Davis need advice from 72 people on Twitter, which is about the number that's probably actually posting? It's always love. It's a country of 330 million people, and boy, it's blowing up on Twitter. And you look at it and go, that's all? There's 330 million people in the country. That's it? But it blew up? I know you hate my attitude about Twitter, but it's all right.
No, I understand it, though.
Yeah, but you know, I can do numbers, too. 330 million people. That's all that posted on Twitter? Really? It blew up? No offense, doesn't really seem like a big number in the big picture. And we're now going to change what we do or whatever because 72 people posted? Come on. It's the kind of conversation would drive the suit nuts. He lives by those numbers, right?
Correct.
And you can't. They don't really tell you much of anything. There's a big audience out there, big wide world. How many people? Let's see. Dick from Milton calls the show. Do you think Dick from Milton is on Twitter? Right? Doug from Wellsboro calls the show. Do you think Doug's on Twitter? Posting left and right? I have my doubts on those counts, but they're listening to the show. Those people in the car right now, right? I don't care whether you're driving on 11 and 15 or 61, 147, 192, 45, whatever it may be, right? You know, taking that back road through New Berlin on 204, 304, right? Those people are just listening to the show on the radio right now. That's all you're doing. You're listening to the show on the radio. You're not posting on Twitter, you're driving. Those are the people you're talking to one-to-one. You can't worry. I mean, do you think Jack Ham reads anything on Twitter?
That's a definite no.
Do you think I do?
Also a definite no, but we knew that already.
I only go to stuff where I feel like I'm going to learn something. And there are plenty of places I do go to read or look at whatever because I'll learn something out of it. That isn't one of them. And there are plenty of other places you can go to that say, hey, I need to find out about this. I need to find out about that. So you can get too married to that stuff. And then I always love when somebody in this particular job gets into, quote, a Twitter fight with somebody. Like, a Twitter fight? What do you get in a Twitter fight with that person for? Who cares? If you ignore it, you'd be shocked. It's like the tree that falls in the forest. You can actually have the conversation about whether or not it makes a noise. It's the same thing. Now, there are a lot of good uses to it. There are a lot of great uses to it. There's no question about that. There's a lot of great uses to Twitter.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by my two favorites, the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Big weekend. Big weekend. World Series starts tonight. Penn State, Ohio State tomorrow. And the Steelers and Eagles on Sunday. Wow. Stock up right now. Follow me. Follow me to Reagan Street. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Matt, I'll allow you to bring in the next guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, on this Football and World Series Football Friday, even though our Yankees are not playing, here he is, the king.
Buenos dias, amigos. ¿Cómo está?
Hello. Yo. Yo.
You suck!
I'm afraid you hear the bad news.
My Tom and Giselle. Hero!
Tom and Giselle are divorced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate.
Well, that's why I think I was it. I don't know. Maybe I've said it to you, but somebody said to me, you know, you haven't really talked about that. I said, do you know how many guys in professional sports got divorced? I didn't talk about them either. So, what's the difference? So, this isn't TMZ. This is WKOK.
it's sad. You know, it's not
sure
about
it
money.
Is.
So it's,
sure.
You know, there's
right.
a whole lot going on there. And kids involved, and, you know. I mean, they got all the money
sure.
in the world, so everyone will be fine right. that way. But, you know, whatever. I've been through it, so it's no matter what, it's tough. So anyway, whatever. You know, I'm sure they'll all be fine. But I don't think it's why this team's not playing well.
No, they look like they're playing robotic. I think losing the center Jansen hurt. They lost one other offensive lineman, that hurt. So they're not effective at running the football. Brait's out, and you already had Gronkowski not back. And it
That's
really has changed
right
the and it changed the dynamics of the team and the offense, because it looks to me like that they are calling plays. They are not sequencing plays.
I believe with Tom Brady, if you're open, he'll hit you. You know, if people aren't open, and
you know
his go-to guys, Edelman,
you know
Gronkowski, you know they knew they were odd. They were like on in tune with everything he did. And
he knew
where they were all the time, and they were open. You know?
Yeah, but he's, you know what? I watched that game last night, and I got the same impression when I saw the last time I watched him. He had a touchdown pass in the back of the end zone. I think it was to Evans. And he overthrew him, and he was wide open. And you know what? It just seems like Brady himself is a half step off. He's not quite putting the ball in the same spot he did before. Is it
He's also missing.
He's also 45.
I was about to say age. He's starting to finally show his age.
Let's be honest about it. At some point, Father Time is undefeated, and I'm not saying he's at, you know, that he's spiraling down. He's not. He still plays well enough and so forth, but he's missing a little bit.
He doesn't look good physically. His face looks really drawn out. I mean, don't underestimate the divorce.
I'm probably wrong
that the divorce is affecting his... His life has flipped upside down right now. It's more than just football, you know?
I know, but because it's him, everybody's talking about it. He's not the only guy in the league that's going through it.
Yeah, I know, but he's a guy who's not very used to losing. When you get a divorce, you lost. You didn't win, you lost. You failed. And I have been through it. It is an empty feeling. Like, there was a day when you loved that person more than anything in the world, and now the day is there that you can't live together anymore. And it's failure.
That's an interesting way to put it.
Life, and it is part of sports right now. So,
how about our guy Cooper? How about our guy Cooper Kupp? Did you see what he said?
No,
I didn't see this either.
Oh, this was great. They've had a couple of injuries that have taken place on the field turf.
Oh, I did
at
see
SoFi.
This. Yes, yeah, I did see this. I'm sorry.
And he says every game should be played on grass.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, I am absolutely in agreement with that. I understand in dome stadiums, obviously it's tough. Most are retractable now. I mean, obviously I did the Fiesta Bowl, which is a dome stadium, but they do it the neatest way. They play on grass.
They roll it out, right? They roll out each field.
The grass is outside in the back. So the parking lot that we parked in on the team buses is actually where the field is during the week. And they water it, there's sunshine, the whole thing. Boom, they hit a button, the field rolls in, and they're set to go, and they're playing on grass. He's right. To me, sports should be played, on grass. Should be not field turf. And I agree with him about that.
All the high schools are getting them. I mean, I go to Little Rockville High School to watch them play football, and it's probably one of the poorer towns in Connecticut. Okay? I mean, you remember Rockville, right?
Sure.
It hadn't changed much, okay, except the buildings that were open when you lived here are now closed.
Yeah. Right.
But you go to a football game, and it's all a synthetic field. It's beautiful.
I know. They think, wow,
where'd you get the money for this? Because South Windsor voted it down. The town said, no, the football team is fine on grass, you know.
So, yeah, and they're right.
A lot of the high schools have them.
I think Enfield High has it.
So.
Yeah, they have it. The Sealands Grove, they're on field turf,
all,
right?
Everybody is on turf, except for Shikellamy, but I think there's talks of them heading in that direction, maybe as early as next year.
Here's one for you. Just go over to Lowe's, buy some fertilizer. You're good. All right. I mean, I want to hear about this. Is going to save us a lot of money. What, fertilizer and some lime?
And where I'm going tonight, Milton Warrior Run, they both are just put in brand new turf stadiums this past year.
And I know they think economically it's the way to go, the whole deal. You know what? Little fertilizer, a little grass seed, a little bit of lime. We're good. Guess what?
It ain't working for me here.
Right.
I finally got some sprouts of grass to grow. I've probably spent $1,000 trying to grow grass. I can't grow any.
That was a tough summer for all of us with the brown grass, with the drought.
Yeah.
My lawn's come back beautiful. So, all right. Take a break. We got picks coming up. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Time to pick.
All right, well, last week I went 9-1. Steve, 8-2. King, 7-3. Good week for all of us last week. I am now 52-35. Steve's still in the lead at 54-33. King is 46-41. As we
way
hit
over
into
500
this week. You are over 500, correct.
Oh, way over.
Yeah.
Well,
get in there.
That.
There you go. All right, starting with the NFL, we're going to start with the toilet bowl game of the week. Sam Ellinger getting his professional debut with the Colts as they take on Taylor Heinicke and the Washington Commanders. Steve.
Yeah, why was this game picked?
Because I can't. There's no games to pick.
I'm going to pick.
I picked
I'm
the
going
game.
To pick.
So I picked this because Washington's been pitiful and Heinicke. Now, are they going to turn the corner? He brought them to the playoffs last year.
I'm going to take Washington.
I am going with the Commanders as well.
Me too. One of the reasons, this is a big theme this year, is backup quarterbacks.
Yep.
And a lot of people feel like Wentz never should have started. This Heinicke kid's good. He's real good.
Yeah.
You know, and the backup quarterbacks are starting to really, you know, look at the Patriots. What a cluster that is.
Yes, it has turned in that way. All right, Monday Night Football, Cincinnati at Cleveland. King.
Cincinnati. I think Burrow's has really turned the corner.
Steve?
Interesting because there's no Jamar Chase. I'm going to take Cleveland.
You know what? I am going with the Browns as well at home. If this were in Cincy, I'd probably lean Bengals. But, yeah, no Jamar Chase. That's a big issue for Cincy. Cool. So I'm going to go Cleveland as well. All right, then we've got a battle in the NFC West. Rams hosting the 49ers. King.
The Rams haven't played well all year, and the Niners played lousy last week, but the Niners seem to have the Rams' number. I got San Francisco.
I'm going with
and
the Niners
field
as well.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, no. Definitely not with the Rams. I like the Niners, too. I just think they're the more physical team, and the way the offensive line's been for L.A., I like San Francisco. Steve.
I think with an additional week to really properly integrate Christian McCaffrey, I'm going to go with San Francisco.
Right, there is that too, exactly. And then, we got two more. Big one in the Meadowlands. The Jets, 5-2, half game behind for first place. For the first time since 2000, they will have the better record than the Patriots as they go to the Meadowlands this week. Steve.
Jets.
I'm rolling with the J-E-T-S myself.
Now, it should
They're
be pointed out.
The Jets.
You know what? You know what?
They're still the Jets.
But you know
I
what? There's no Breece
New
Hall.
England, this is a big week for Mac Jones. It's,
yeah.
Let's see what he's got. And his team is rallying around him because they don't like the way he was treated. He didn't deserve to. You know, he got hurt, you know, and he's treated like. This Zappy guy comes in and, you know, all of a sudden they want Zappy to be quarterback. I'm taking New England. I think.
Actually, I'm with you.
will win, you know, this game. So
Breece Hall is not going to play. He's out. So I'm switching to the Patriots because of that.
All right. I'm sticking with the Jets.
That's a penalty.
I'm sticking with the Jets.
I forgot Breece Hall's out.
Yes, that is
and
correct.
And that's a big part of what the Jets do.
No, that's still okay.
And then finally, Battle of Pennsylvania, Sunday at 1, at the Link. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson have the call. Eagles, Steelers. King, who you got?
I got the Eagles. I love the quarterback play. I like that guy.
Steve, who you got in the Battle of PA?
Well, I think only one team actually has practiced taking a knee all season. So I'll go with Philadelphia.
I think it's a closer game than what people think.
Oh, they're
going
to run them. They're going to run them out of the building.
I wouldn't be shocked. Let's get that wrong.
Yeah, come on. Jeez, stop crawling. Show some confidence.
I'm going with the Eagles, though. 23-16.
I don't know. I'm really worried about this. They got to crush this team like a grape. What? Come on.
I mean, they should, theoretically, but.
I don't know. It's my team. It's going to be a lot tougher. Oh, the heck with that stuff. I mean, for goodness sakes, they just acquired Quinn from the Bears, and not only did he get him, the Bears are paying his salary.
Yes. Yes, it is pretty sweet.
Well, you're talking about winning.
Yes. Howie Roseman can do that.
Every time you do this, the other team wins.
Oh, they're going to crush him.
Don't do that to me, King. I'm knocking on wood right now. Don't do that to me, King.
I mean, I can say I don't care.
One injury to note, though, for the Steelers.
Pittsburgh and Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah, Georgia Tech.
All right. This is not quite that bad, but, you know. By the way, Chris Boswell, late on injury report. Groin injury, questionable. Some to monitor for the Steelers this weekend.
Well, I'd like to point out the Steelers draft have get close enough to attempt one.
That's also very true.
And by the way, late on the injury report for Ohio State, the long snapper Bradley Robinson's out of the game tomorrow.
Well, that's
okay.
Huge.
Okay. All right. That's
that
a big one.
Me over one game this year.
On the road, like, that's a big one. All right.
Well, I would have won that pool that I'm in every week. And I'm like, we got the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
The snapper got hurt. Come on, man.
Right.
Jeez.
Hey, at least you won big a couple weeks ago, so you got that under your belt. Yeah. All right. Let's start with Big 12. Oklahoma State on the road at Kansas State. Steve.
Interesting game. The key to me is Adrian Martinez playing. That's a big part of this. I'll take Oklahoma State in this game.
I'm rolling with Oklahoma State. I've liked this team a lot this year and what they do offensively. King?
Yeah, I like Oklahoma. Happy for them, too. They're finally getting some recognition in their own state.
All right.
Oklahoma State.
Couple SEC matchups to get to. Number 15, Ole Miss at A&M. King?
I got A&M.
Ooh, okay.
Yep. I think they're going to. Those SEC teams, they seem to fall apart halfway through the season. So we'll go with A&M.
Jimbo Fisher is a fraud. Mississippi. Steve.
You feel like you're looking at a College Station dumpster fire here. I feel like when I'm watching Texas A&M play, it's like watching the train bus scene in The Fugitive.
That's exactly right.
You know what's underrated about Ole Miss? Their defense is actually pretty good. Ole Miss's defense actually statistically is the same as Texas A&M's. And Texas A&M's defense is pretty good. It's the offense where Ole Miss is the difference. In other words, of the four units on the field, Ole Miss has two of the top three. I'm going to go with Ole Miss even on the road.
All right, another one, the SEC. Will Levis and the Kentucky Wildcats at number 3, Tennessee Vols. King.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I got Tennessee in a route. Steve.
Tennessee by a margin. I think they'll play really well. I mean, after last week's Titanic struggle with Tennessee Martin, they're looking to...
Yeah, 65 burger on them.
Well, you know, it's only 13 more than they scored in Alabama. So fair. Tennessee's averaging 50 points a game.
Oh, I know. Phenomenal offense.
They're fun to watch.
Mm. Yeah.
But I'm just picking games that are top 20.
No. That's a
decent game. You know, you never know. Kentucky's surprising people this year, so. Now we go to the ACC, well, sort of ACC, I guess. Syracuse hosting Notre Dame. I got Syracuse in a rout. I don't think this is close. But this is my disgruntled Irish fan coming out of me here. Steve?
Notre Dame.
Ooh.
I think last week was a crushing blow to Syracuse. They should have lost to Purdue. I mean, what Purdue did at the end of that game was inexplicable. With the personal foul penalty and the extra point, with the coach going crazy and getting a penalty. No. But last week against Clemson, I think that was an emotion. They had the game won, and they just flat out handed it to them.
All right. I hope you're right, King.
I have Notre Dame also.
So. All right. There you go.
I thought it was a great matchup. See how good Notre Dame really is. Are they going to turn the corner here? You know,
it's up in the dome that now has air conditioning after they drop Carrier.
That's right. All right, finally, this isn't going to count, but we'll pick it anyway. Steve, quick final key for Penn State, Ohio State.
I think the start is going to be important to both halves in the game. Giveaway, takeaway is going to be important in a game like this, and controlling the Ohio State running game.
There you go. That said, I think it's a back-and-forth game, but I think Ohio State's going to get like that really back-breaking score in the fourth quarter that's going to pull away. I go 31-20 Ohio State. King?
Yeah, as much as I'll be rooting hard for Penn State, I think Ohio State's a better team. Did you guys know that this is only Ohio State's second away game all year?
Yes, we have talked about that. That's interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I listened to the podcast.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere.